You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV.
Yesterday, all the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason, you know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it, tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for August 18th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me today is Mal. How you doing, Mal?
I am doing great. I'm really excited to talk about this day. This parallels the first update I did for Big Brother Canada. It was a Tuesday. There was a veto meeting. Nothing really happened. I'm like, okay, it'll be a good, nice, easy update. And somehow now I have a novel of notes. So that'll be really exciting to go over.
Yes, it was. We're here to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. It was day 13 in the house, and a lot going on here today. A lot to get through, so I'm going to try to keep the narrative clear here and not get too bogged down in individual conversations if possible, as we're going to try and help you get through and understand everything that happened and where we have ended up at the end of the day. So let's go ahead and talk about yesterday. So Memphis held the veto. He's HOH. Nicole Anthony and David are on the block, and the veto ceremony did in fact take place yesterday on the feeds, not on the feeds, but in the house. And the only real thing of importance before the veto ceremony really was that Memphis had a conversation with Janelle and was basically like, hey, Janelle, stop campaigning for people that can't hold their own weight. You're tanking your own game for no reason. Let these people campaign for themselves.
Yeah, specifically Nicole Anthony, who at the moment had not been campaigning. He's like, just let her campaign for herself. Like, there's no reason for you to be doing this because she hasn't tried yet, which will change later. But I think it's good advice. Although yes. I don't know if not campaigning for her will even do anything.
I mean, really, not campaigning for her might have been the thing that could have saved her, except then maybe not. So the veto ceremony takes place.
One notable comment from that conversation, though, was Memphis said, if anyone's thinking about feelings, I'm screwed. And I thought that was just a really nice summary of his entire HOH.
Yeah. The veto ceremony takes place. Memphis does not use the veto, so one of Nicole, Anthony, or David will be going home on Thursday. So now it's time to campaign. And so David's going to go to Enzo. He's going to be like, hey, Enzo, do I have your vote? Can I count on you for a vote? And it's like, of course, yo. Like, we're an alliance, yo.
Yep.
Okay. We're in an alliance. Oh, okay. Cool. Great.
I see you wanted to start with David's because it was just very easy to summarize. That was his campaigning, right?
Yeah. Nicole is going to talk with Day. Day essentially tells Nicole, look, Nicole, I'm sorry. But I cannot keep you in this house. I can't vote against David as an African-American man. I can't do it. I'm sorry. And Nicole is like, okay, I get that. But Day, shouldn't you do what's best for your game? I mean, do you think that David would do the same for you? And Day was like, I mean, that's a good point, but I'm sorry.
Nicole also had a good quote. She's saying, you want an African-American to make it far. Maybe that should be you. How are you going to get to the end? Is saving David for the sake of keeping him in the game going to help you get your end goal, which is an African-American winning, but also you winning?
Mm-hmm. So that's an important conversation. Bay is going to talk to Kevin. They talk about the vote. Kevin says that he likes them both. And they talk about like working together, moving forward. There's a lot of movement toward Janelle and Kacer from Bailey and Devon. That's been happening over the last few days. So really, again, like you have to remember that at this moment, Bailey and Devon are still in the mindset of they found out that Danny went to Janelle to offer Janelle an alliance to keep Danny and her crew safe. And they found out that Danny sees her crew as herself, Cody, Franzel, and maybe Tyler. And that really put them, gave them perspective on where they are in the pecking order. And so they're really feeling left out. There's been a lot of tension, a lot of suspicion, a lot of paranoia between the between Bailey and Devon and the rest of like Cody and Danny and them. And so they're already kind of leaning in this direction. And now they're talking to Kevin and they would like to like kind of work with these other people that aren't Cody, that Cody doesn't have. And now part of the problem here is that Kevin is with or not with Janelle and Kacer very adamantly. But they would like to build this relationship.
I can't figure out, honestly, who Kevin is with. So Janelle and Kacer are trying to save Nicole, who's with Kevin, but they are rejecting that. So they are trying to get with Danny and their group who are trying to vote Nicole Anthony out. So who does Kevin think he has?
Kevin thinks he has nobody except for Nicole Anthony. Yeah.
Okay. So what is he trying to do to change that?
So from Kevin's perspective, Janelle and Kacer are the people that were trying to get him out and that were running the game. And then they're working closely with Memphis and that they were using Nicole Anthony as a pawn, that they don't actually value her as an ally and are only using her. And now things are screwing up, that they overestimated their abilities in the game. And now Nicole Anthony is in danger because Janelle and Kacer didn't value her as an ally and decided to use her as a pawn. And so he's like, I mean, I guess they might be voting to keep you. But at best it's that they didn't value you and now they're in trouble. So we can vote with them, but we don't trust them at all because they clearly don't value either of us as numbers or alliance members.
I think what Nicole Anthony is so upset about that could be cleared up so easily is knowing that Janelle and Kacer had no part of her being put on the block. Like that was a Memphis decision, but they're pairing Janelle and Kacer and Memphis. So they're not even mad at Memphis. Like I didn't hear any anger towards Memphis. It's all Janelle and Kacer are responsible for me being on the block. So I don't even care if they're trying to save me because they're the reason I'm here in the first place.
Well, they don't, very frustrating. They don't believe Janelle and Kacer when they say they had nothing to do with
too,
it because,
but you know.
Because it's so weird that Janelle and Kacer continually count Memphis as a number and say that like Memphis is with us. Memphis will break the tie in your favor. Like Memphis is one of our people. But also we had nothing to do with Memphis's nominations because like that's not how modern Big Brother works, that like an ally just nominates whoever they want without any consultation from their allies, except that is what Memphis is doing. But also Memphis is also with the other side and also doing that to them as well. And it's really
Memphis is great. I love this HOH.
It's totally screwing everything up. So Franzel talks to Christmas. Franzel says that Nicole hasn't campaigned to her at all. And Christmas talks about how she was talking to Nicole and was encouraging her to like fight, stay in the game. And Franzel says, "Whoa, don't do that. Don't do that. We can't keep her. We don't want her to fight. Don't light a fire under her. What if she does something mean to us?"
Oh, something mean.
Yeah. And really, if you think about it, Christmas, it's more mean to encourage her only to vote her out. Don't give her false hope. It's mean.
Very mean. There's a lot of talk about being mean in the house. That's for sure.
Especially when it comes to Franzel. So Tay is going to talk with Kevin. This is a funny conversation. Day says that talks to Kevin. He's saying that he feels good with Cody and Tyler. And Day says, "Oh, well, you should maintain those relationships." But Enzo, especially Enzo, you should work on Enzo. Enzo is the most genuine person in the house. Enzo is like the only person on that other side, even more so than Tyler at this point, that Day and Bay feel good about. Feel like, okay, Enzo's probably not, you know, in the core of anything. You know, Enzo is with us more so than anybody else. And so she's like, "You should work on Enzo." And
Kevin's
like,
"Do they not feel that way about Cody?"
They do not feel that way about Cody anymore, no. Because they feel like Cody's trying to play that Derek game. And he's got his hands in too many pots. That's what she's going to say later.
Trying is definitely the key word in that statement. Trying to play the Derek game.
Yes. So Kevin says, "Okay, yeah, Enzo's great. I also feel good about Cody too, though." And Davon just goes, "Okay."
Noted.
Franzel does end up talking to Nicole. Nicole is going to campaign to her. And Franzel asks her if Janelle has said anything about her. "Has Janelle said anything about me?" And
does she just have that like on repeat? Does she have a tape that plays it as a question to everyone? So she doesn't have to say it all the time. She's just curious.
Yeah. Like, but this time she strikes gold because Nicole says, "Actually, yes, a lot." Like night one, like the first thing like that we talked about, she was like calling you, a bad word. I don't even know what Franzel would use for that word. What does Franzel use for the B word?
The B word, a bad person. I need something like a bibbly. I'm trying to make it like all cutesy, a bibbly bobbity.
She called you a brick. I don't know.
There we go. A brick. That's
right. and then she was like, "Yeah, like she really doesn't like you, like on a personal level." Like because Franzel was like, "Was it game? Was it like game related?" She was like, "No, it was personal." I was like, "Be nice, Janelle, be nice." And this is like night one before we like even talk to you. Cool. And Franzel's like, I knew it.
It only took asking 17 people 100 times, but I knew it.
So that's gonna be Franzel's story for the day. Is that she goes?
Yeah, she's
I can't believe. I knew it, Janelle.
You know when you have like a kid that's annoying you, and you're like, "Okay, fine. What do you want? Here's your jawbreaker. Here's your toy. Go." And then they like, "Yes," and they go play it for this like 7 hours. That feels like what happened to Franzel. She got her message. This is what she's going to talk about the rest of the day, and she's happy. We'll just let her play on, not on our cameras that we watch.
Yes. So meanwhile, so Nicole is like super like ratting out Janelle right now about, you know, Franzel. In the meantime, Janelle is talking to Kacer, crying to him about how much she likes Nicole. Nicole is such a genuine person, and she just wishes that she was able to help her. She feels like it's her fault that Nicole is in this spot, and she's trying so hard, but she can't figure out a way to get her to stay. And Nicole isn't even, it sucks. Nicole is even questioning them because of their inability to help her, and it sucks.
Janelle is crying. Okay. The last time Janelle cried was when Howie got eliminated. Kacer even was like, have I even ever seen you cry? Janelle does not cry. Janelle is crying. She just feels so bad. She's doing everything she possibly can, which, okay, maybe isn't the most helpful once you look at how the things are structured. But like, oh, it's just so to see these juxtapositions, conversations about like Nicole Anthony saying, Janelle says she wants me to stay, but I don't trust that. It's like, what else could she do? Nicole Anthony is hearing this from other people. Like, she's hearing that all of these people are voting her out, except for Janelle, who's trying to get her to stay. And her conclusion with that is, I don't trust Janelle. Like, why?
Yeah. I mean, you can kind of follow the logic, especially for Kevin, but maybe a little bit, at least, for Nicole. But like, at some point,
like, you can follow the logic of having that assumption of, okay, maybe I shouldn't trust Janelle. But to turn that into, I'm going to spend the next 8 hours like talking about how much I don't trust her and like complaining, having conversations with Kevin. I don't know if we'll get to that, but saying like, oh, I really want to confront them, but I need their votes, so I'm just going to stay quiet. And it's like, you have their votes.
Yeah. And that's the Nicole and Kevin talk about like, we don't know what to do. Like, should I call them out and confront them and publicly and like, burn their votes in the hopes that, the other side votes for me to stay. But if I do that and I lose their votes and the other side has already promised to David or he's already locked in with them, then I'm screwed. But if I stick with Janelle and Kacer, they don't seem to have the votes. They have like the votes that they have, themselves, you, Kevin, Christmas, Ian, and then, Bailey. So like maybe we could make a tie. Or if we don't have and then they talked to Janelle and Janelle was like, we don't have Ian because of their conversation last night when Ian said, don't you dare come after Franzel. And she's like, oh, yeah, we don't have Ian. So then we need Davon. And Davon is telling me that she can't vote for me to stay. They talk about how annoying that is in a way that I didn't think was super respectful to Davon.
No, it was definitely watching the conversation. It was like, oh, no. OK, what is this going to turn into? They ended up getting starfished, which was good. But yeah, not great. They just could have just complain about it. And oh, it sucks that he's not going to give us their vote. Like, don't try and think about what she's, thinking in that moment. Just be grumpy about it.
Mm-hmm. Enzo is going to talk with Bailey. Bailey expresses some doubt about Danny. She's like, Enzo, Danny proposed an alliance to Janelle. It did not include any of us. And he's like, I didn't know that. And she says that she's worried that Cody's going to choose Danny and Franzel over her and Day. But she trusts him. She trusts Enzo. Enzo, what should we do? And he's like, hey, no, don't worry about it. It's too early to worry about that stuff, yo. There's tons
like
of
how your shoulders get up when you're being Enzo.
Yeah.
Enzo pose.
Well, I don't know why. Why are you going to be like that, Mel?
I don't know, yo. I don't know.
We just need to stay loyal, yo.
Just loyal. I'm such a loyal guy. Loyalty's my brand.
Yeah. Janelle talks to David. David's going to campaign to Janelle. And his campaign to Janelle.
Okay, hold on. You said campaign? That's yes. What this conversation yes. was? You're sure?
It's a campaign. Okay. Yes. And the campaign is, okay. So if I stay, I'm going to be, people will think, I'm going after Memphis. Janelle's like, okay, well,
what does that mean? What does that mean? I'm with Memphis.
Where does that leave me? Like, well, you are associated with Memphis. And so, that's, you'd probably be guilty by association. She's like, okay, well, but I don't want to go up on the block or be sent home. Like, would you keep me safe? He's like, yeah, I can do that. Like, for a week. Yeah. I can make that deal.
What you guys didn't see is afterwards, Janelle drops to her knees and says, thank you. Thank you, David, for the 1 week of safety. That's all I wanted. I'm now going to go campaign for you. Oh, that is just all the reassurances that my heart needed. It wasn't on the pizza, though. I think I just heard about it.
Yeah, it's David likes to just like, David is the opposite of Enzo. Enzo is the guy, I don't know if you've ever dealt with this guy before, but Enzo is the guy that makes a joke and then like stares you down while he laughs and you laugh to make sure that you're both laughing. You know what I mean? Isn't this so funny? Isn't this so funny, Mel? Yeah. Oh, how about you, person over here? Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. No, Taryn, you don't understand. David read a book on emotional intelligence. He's really smart guy.
That's Enzo. Very like over the top in making sure that like he's connecting with you and that like you are like you're on the same page. David is the complete opposite. David is completely in his head and doesn't really read anybody else or how they're reacting to him. He's completely focused on like what he's saying. And so David likes to just like repeat facts and like explain the situation that he's like, well, people would assume I'm going for Memphis. Like he says that a lot. And he kind of like goes into his spiel regardless of how the other person is going to take it. And he doesn't catch any kind of like, you know, response, like body language, facial responses, the tone of somebody's voice. Like, he's just very much in his own world. And so like, you know, he has this conversation with Janelle and it does not go particularly well for him.
I think David could be a good player if he was in a Cody position. Obviously, Cody got himself there and David didn't. But David right now is playing from an underdog position. He doesn't have many allies. He's on the block. He is not going to be that guy that goes to make deals and knows what to say. But if he was maybe sitting in a solid alliance, I don't know if that would be maybe a better spot for him. Would we be able to see him do more? Because right now we're not getting it. He needs passion. I'm not seeing him be like, please vote to keep me. And I feel like not that word is going to convince anyone, but we're not seeing any sort of passion from him.
Yeah, they're mentioning in the chat that David likes to talk about a book that he read on emotional intelligence before coming into the game. There was actually a pretty funny conversation he had with Franzel about this, where he's talking about that book. And she says, oh, I read a book about emotional intelligence in Sequester before I came in. And it was like, I don't remember the name of it. It was like something 2.0. And he was like, that's the book. Like, oh my God, isn't it so weird that we read the same book? And he's like so excited about it because he loves this book. And then Franzel goes, yeah, I felt like I knew everything in it already, though. I'm like really emotionally intelligent. And he was like, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is definitely a conversation between two emotionally intelligent people happening.
So David is also going to go and talk to Christmas and sort of like the end portion of the line about him maybe going after Memphis that Janelle like didn't really let him get to is he goes, yeah, I don't people expect me to go after Memphis. But I don't know if that's really the smart thing to do. You know, I'm new to the game. I don't want to just do like the obvious thing. So I actually don't know if that's really what I want to do. And so he's telling people that aren't aligned with Memphis in his eyes that he isn't going after Memphis, and people that are aligned with Memphis in his eyes that he is going after Memphis.
Yeah, he's doing what every great nominee does, which is, I don't know who I'm going to target next week. It might be you. Want to roll the dice?
Cody and Memphis talk a little bit about sort of the state of the house and how everyone is freaking out. You know, Memphis has been referring to this group of six as the committee. This is the commission.
So many names.
The commission is Cody and Memphis. The committee is the six of them.
Not confusing at all. Great. Excellent.
And I'm like, I have not, unfortunately, been like tracking the Memphis naming things storyline super closely. So I don't know for sure about this theory, but I'm pretty sure that the reason Memphis keeps shutting down names that like Tyler and Christmas and whoever keep suggesting is because in his eyes, he's already named it the committee. But he doesn't want to tell them because like it's just a name for him and Cody to call the rest of them. They don't get to know it. I don't know.
Again, Memphis just showing like his exceptional alliance and relationship handling skills.
But they talk about they're going to need to reevaluate the committee eventually.
That is such like a Memphis and Cody conversation to have, to be sitting there like arms crossed, like feeling so good. Oh, yeah, we're the heads of the committee, but they don't get to know about it. And you know what? We might pick a new committee.
Yes.
Better hope that they in the way that better Memphis, hope that they do what we want.
Memphis talks about it too. He's like, so really when you think about it, is we gotta start looking at, you know, we're not gonna go to the final six. You wait until the final six, you're screwed. They're gonna turn on you first. So they're gonna try and turn at like 8, right? So we're gonna turn at 10. That's when we reevaluate. So we hit 10, we reevaluate the committee.
If it was like an actual real alliance, it's not a bad strategy to like, okay, well, once we get down to closer to the end, let's not wait till we get to the six. We see that sometimes in alliances and they're like, yes, loyalty. And they get to the end. And then the people that start getting cut are like, wait a minute, I thought I was in the head. And I mean, granted, it seems now that Cody and Memphis are at the head of this alliance. But yeah, not a bad read, except for the fact that they might be changing the people, which doesn't really work.
Kacer has a conversation with Ian. And this is when things start to get a little interesting. Ian has some advice.
We had a Danny and Day conversation before this, didn't we?
Yes, I had that a little bit later because my times mixed up a little bit. but also because it's a little more relevant to the other storyline. Yeah, let's just go with Ian and Kacer. Ian has some advice for Kacer. Says, you should try to win that HOH next time. you should fight pretty hard for it. Kacer says, look, Ian, there's a big alliance in this house. It happens every year. Did you get an invite? I didn't get an invite. Ian's like, I didn't get an invite. It's like, I think Cody and Tyler are running it. And Ian's like, yeah, I mean, maybe. And Kacer says, look, if you're not a part of it, and Nicole Franzel is, you didn't get an invite. Like, you're telling me that Nicole Franzel is your Janelle, right? If Janelle was part of an alliance, I would be included. So if you're not a part of it, if Franzel is your Janelle, why aren't you part of her group? And they start talking about the brigade and how the brigade had parachute alliances. Like, don't be a parachute alliance, Ian. That's not a good place to be. We should work together. And Ian says, "You look, I just want to make it to the top half. I look at this game like in checkpoints. I just need to make it to the top half." And Kacer says, "If I can guarantee you top half, can we work together?" Ian says, "Yes."
I will just say, I loved this conversation. I wanted to transcribe the whole thing. I love the way they talk. Kacer at one point was like, our brains together are a lot more interesting than if we were to do our own thing. And it just, I love listening to them talk. But it was interesting. So the point you said about Ian saying that him and Nicole Franzel are like Kacer and Janelle is something he said that's going to come back to bite him later. But Kacer makes an excellent point. Like, if this is your person, your number two, like, why are they leaving you out of alliances? And later we'll see that Ian and Nicole talk and she won't even admit that alliance. And I'm really curious as to whether Ian remembers this conversation with Kacer and like takes note of that.
Yeah, I mean, it's super interesting to me as well that like Janelle tried to talk to Ian the night before and was completely shut down. Kacer knows how to talk to Ian. Kacer, who normally is not able to connect to people very well on a strategic level because he's too intense and too, you know, numbersy, is able to connect to Ian in absolutely the right way here, and get Ian to kind of start to question things. So that's something there.
They also talk about the core four, and then they're saying, okay, do you think that we're going to be able to like dismantle that alliance and kind of like make them go into other alliances? So like they had really good reads on what was happening.
And after this conversation, Ian goes up to David and he's like, David, let's say David stays. Where does David fit into the long-term structure of the house? How does that fit? Where do you see the house standing right now? And David says, well, I think people expect me to go after Memphis. He's like, oh, okay, never mind.
I thought maybe we could do something with that, but we can't. Also, your David sounds kind of like an Eeyore. Well, they want me to go after Memphis.
So Ian also is going to ask Franzel that question. And Franzel goes, well, here's what I think. And then the feeds cut to Janelle talking about how they can't talk about Daniel Murphy.
It was so frustrating. It was like, oh, yes, we get to see if this conversation that we just watched is going to have that. Anything's going to happen. Yes. OK. And cut. And we stare at Janelle walking around for several minutes and they go back to the hammock. And it's like, okay, all right, well, we'll catch up later. I was like, oh, no.
They literally cut away from this important conversation to cut to no conversation except for them talking about things they can't talk about because they got in trouble for talking about Daniel Murphy. Why would you switch to things that you don't? What? Why?
Big Brother just wants us to know that they're enforcing the rules. They want us to have faith that Big Brother will. I don't know. That's not anything.
And let me tell
you, I'm
sure
they had a reason.
Like this is a pro. Like I get it. They're probably understaffed, but they have been very bad at following, not only just like keeping the feeds up because they hit that starfish button every 2 seconds. Yes, that's not that weird, especially because it's an all-star season. They're veterans that are coming back. But also like the conversations they decide to follow and the ones they switch away from feels like, you know, the person, whoever is in charge of whoever the people are that are in charge of this sometimes are incompetent. Like they just don't know which conversation to follow. We're missing so much more than we usually do on the feeds. It's a problem.
You know what I think happened? I think that production heard the complaints and said, Nicole Franzel, we hate Nicole Franzel. Janelle, we love Janelle. So they saw Nicole Franzel in the hammock and said, oh, the people want Janelle. Let's show them Janelle. I blame Twitter.
Yeah. I couldn't even tell you how many times I counted them switching away from a game conversation to like a random group conversation where they're talking about nothing. It's like, since when do we do this? Like, this doesn't make any sense.
Very weird and very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. So Danny does have a conversation with Day. Day confronts Danny about approaching Janelle with an alliance that didn't include any of them. And Danny says, that did not happen. That is a complete... It's so annoying. Like, why do people make up lies like that? Oh, my God.
Why would I even do that? Like, I would never... That doesn't make any sense.
That's just, like, not how I roll. Like, I don't even, just to come up with blatant lies like that, it's just so annoying.
I would never do that.
Listen, Day, I swear on my family, I never did anything like that at all. I don't even talk to Janelle.
Day, I am obsessed with you. Like, we just click. Like, I love, I'm so happy that I found out you were in this house.
You went into Tommy territory.
No, she says that. What's her Danny line? I am so freaking obsessed with you or something.
I really like you.
There we go.
I think it's Danny's line.
I feel good.
Yeah, Danny. Look, I mean, she hasn't like super been caught in a lie or anything, but Danny is a bad liar. I honestly, I don't like when people say that when they're watching the feeds, because it's very easy to say that when you know the truth and you know that they're lying. But Danny's a bad liar.
Like, Day was like taking a lot of breath. She's like, okay, like, do I even bring this up? Because I know you're just going to deny it. And so then Day would be like, I heard this is what you did. And yeah, Danny just over the top, like, oh, no, I would never. And she doesn't give a lot of good points as to why she doesn't do that, except for like generic, I don't talk to them. I would never. I'm great. Whatever. Like, she doesn't have like a, oh, like, that's really weird. I don't know. It's pretty obvious, like you said.
Mm-hmm. Day is going to talk with Bay, and she's starting to feel like Nicole's arguments kind of make some sense. Like, is David really with us? Like, are we sticking our necks out for him to get nothing in return? Like, if he's working with the boys, is he working with the boys for us? Like, is he willing to tell us about this? Like what's going on there? So she's already starting to question David. Franzel does, as I said, talk to Ian. I forgot when Franzel talks to Ian, she mentions that Janelle said mean things about her. Important to have that there. Day then goes and talks to David. And this is when it all hits the fan. You wouldn't think so.
You had many tweets about this conversation.
This is like close to midnight Eastern time. This is the day right here. It was pretty late at night. And I was flabbergasted. It was 11:43 PM Eastern. So she asks David, look, I almost got into blows with Kacer last night about you and how I can't vote you out because he thinks that there's a boys alliance and that you're a part of it. So David's like, yeah, can't Kacer's trying to do this. Like, no, that's not cool. And she's like, but is it true? And David goes, David? Well, so here's the thing.
Oh, no. Always is good when you start with here's the thing.
David, do you not trust me? And she's like, how do I want to put this? Like, what do you mean? How do you want to put this? Just be open. I'm telling you things. Just tell me. So David, are you in a boys alliance?
It's a yes or no question.
Yes, but I'm using it to protect you. I've got safeguards in place. She's like, and Dave's like trying and failing to play this off. Like, okay, that's fine. Forgot what I was going to say. Who's in it?
There's definitely reason this can still be okay and I can still keep you, just searching for it in my brain.
Who's in it? Who's in it, David? And he goes, well, I don't want to say. What do you mean you don't want to say? What do you mean? David, what's going on? It's for you. I'm just working on. It's not like an alliance. She's like, David. What? And she just gets, she said, I just can't. She just leaves the conversation. And David goes over to Bay and he's like, Bailey, you gotta talk to Day. She's like freaking out. She's got,
he says, I know Day is looking out for me, but she might need to calm down. I don't want to be connected with her and be put on the block with her. David, you're on the block right now. Do something about it. Goodness.
Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. So to clear this up, like, maybe on a technicality, you could maybe say that David is in a guy's alliance. Maybe.
Yes, I need to circle back to addressing the fact that there is no guy's alliance.
There's not a real guy's alliance at all that David is a part of.
Know who he thinks the alliance is? Is it Tyler and Cody?
Well, here's the thing, because I think it's possible that he didn't think he was in an alliance, an official alliance at all, until earlier that day. When Enzo said, yo, of course we're keeping you. We're in an alliance, yo.
Why would he assume there's no girls in that alliance?
Well, because Tyler has been trying to... Tyler has always said to David, like, hey, we're cool with Cody. And he's also been like, hey, we're working with Enzo. Like, and he hasn't really mentioned the women. But, like... there's sort of like this loose kind of group of like, hey, we're going to like watch each other's backs, like Cody, Tyler, Enzo and David. But it's not a real guys alliance. Like what Davon is asking David is, are you part of like a brigade? Are you part of the core guys alliance that is running the house? And David is answering, yes,
running the house.
I have some relationships with some guys that is loosely grouped.
I don't understand why, if he does not want to answer the question, if she asks, are you an alliance, and he's hesitating to answer it, just say no, because it doesn't really exist. Like, if he thinks it's like this tangential like thing he's kind of sort of friends with people for, then like I don't know why he is having issues answering the question. Either say right. Yes because you want to act like it's a real thing, or say no because it's like barely something you know anyway and it's half a lie.
Well, so Davon is responding like, oh my god, you just admitted that you're like in the guys alliance that is running the house. And David is like, I can't tell you about it.
But I don't understand is why he's on the block if he's running the house.
Right. Because it's like a low key thing. And I've got you guys covered. I'm protecting you guys. David is trying to protect, like David is just trying to be honest. I think what happened in this conversation is that David is like, Davon has way more alliances that David is not a part of and doesn't know about than David has. But Davon doesn't tell David about those things. And so David kind of has this one thing with Tyler and Cody and Enzo, and he kind of like keeps it on the down low. He doesn't want to tell Davon these things, I think, because he's heard that Davon has been kind of running her mouth a bit in the house and spilling things. So he's been trying to not really tell her much. But when she asks him directly, are you in a boys alliance? He feels like I don't want to lie directly to her. I don't want to ever have to. I don't want to lie. He's never lied to Davon. He's always just admitted these relationships that he has. When she asks him that direct question, I think he feels like I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to lie to Davon in this moment. And so he tries to tell her as much as he can without damaging both of their games, which is the absolute worst thing he could have done.
Absolute terrible, terrible read.
and Davon takes this and is just like, this mother effer. This guy's been playing me. He's in this brigade style alliance. Why am I voting to keep him here when he is not, he does not have my back? I do genuinely think, and I think this moment is like the, like what this moment actually is, in my opinion, is David has finally decided, I'm choosing Day over Tyler and the boys. I'm going to tell Day about the boys because he's screwing them over.
Like he doesn't tell her names
in a way, like in okay. a way that he has kept this a secret, but he is confirming that there's a boys alliance. And I don't think he realizes how much he's screwing them over, but I think that he feels like I am telling Devon the truth now. And I'm letting her know that, like, I'm in it to watch your back. But Devon takes it the opposite way, that, like, well, oh, he like has he chosen like the boys least, over me.
He was the least possible reassuring that he could be. It was like, okay, yeah, I told her the small nugget of information and also let her know that there's a huge bag of information I'm not telling her. So it's like, here, look at me extending this olive branch to show that I trust you, but I don't trust you. So it's like, what's she supposed to do with that? Go to Bay and say, oh, he said he'd keep me safe, but I don't get to know anything. Okay. That's definitely what Devon does, is just sit back and say, okay, I'm content with this little nugget of information and I'm just going to trust him.
That's how bad it was, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, David, I think, was trying to be like on Day's side, and the way that he communicates it convinces her that he is not on her side. Like that, like David's communication skills are lacking severely, because again, he's in this conversation with Day and he does not see what her reaction is, and he doesn't care to gauge reaction of how what he's doing and what he's saying and what kind of impact that has on somebody. And Day literally walks up pissed off at him. And all he says is like, she's probably going to calm down. And then he walks around the house just calmly like, yeah, they're still voting for me to stay. Nothing is wrong.
Well, that was a good conversation. I'm happy with that.
It's very silly. Day is then going to go to Bailey and she's going to be like, you're not going to believe what David just admitted to me. There is a boys alliance confirmation. It's real. And now we know about it, and we need to watch out for this. This was kind of funny because, again, there's not really a boys alliance. But the fact that they now think there's one, that David admitted to one that doesn't really exist, is going to be very bad for those guys' games. But in a twist of fate, later in the night, it actually gets created. So we'll talk about that. It's
their
one of
minds.
Those, it literally was manifested, I think. So David goes to Tyler and he says, look, people are concerned about a boys' alliance. And Tyler says, like, Day and Bay, like, look, David, this vote could come down to a tie. If Day and Bay are over there, I saw Ian talking with Kacer for a long time, and then I saw Ian looking really nervous and anxious. So I think Kacer's been working on Ian, and I think Ian might be close to flipping. And if Ian flips, then it might come down to a tie. And if it comes down to a tie, it's going to be Memphis's decision. So I might need to start working on Memphis to break the tie in your favor, because this is bad news for you. And Tyler is 1,000% correct in every aspect of that. The votes could, like, David, who was completely safe, is now in danger of going home because David just threw away Devon and Bailey's votes. And if Ian is also going to be able to flip over, then they will have 6 votes. And Memphis has indicated that he kind of prefers David leaves, at least to Kacer and Enzo and Janelle. And none of those people are in his core alliance, but we've seen how he interacts with David. So it's kind of like, it's definitely at least possible that Memphis would get rid of David. Now, I don't think he would. I think he would vote out Nicole.
I think it'd be very easy to convince him one way or the other. If there's a couple of people, Tyler, of course, is excellent at convincing, but then even just like a couple more people in the alliance be like, no, here's what's going on. We know Memphis doesn't want to talk to anyone. So if he can just sit in his HOH room and say, okay, you provided me limited info, I'm just going to roll with that. I'm going to vote out whoever I need to vote out that doesn't require me going to talk to more people.
Yes. And so Day and Bay go to Janelle and Kacer, and they start talking about this. They don't reveal what they know about the boys alliance quite yet, but they say, we think there's definitely a boys alliance. And they talk about working together and potentially rallying the votes to save Nicole. And all they would need is Christmas, because they think they have Christmas. And in order to, I guess, make sure that you understand this, we can do a quick rewind, that for a while, Janelle and Kacer have thought that Christmas is somebody that is that they are able to pick up all the way back to when they had that late night conversation with Nicole, when they clocked Danny, Cody, Franzel and Tyler as a foursome. They thought they're trying to get rid of Christmas. They think that Christmas was the target of that group before she won the safety competition. And the fact that she chose Ian made them feel like she's kind of maybe got a thing with Ian, and that's going to be outside of any of this group stuff. And so they've been working on Christmas. Kacer went to Christmas and said, "Hey, those people were trying to target you." And she went, "Oh, really?" And ever since then, Christmas has been working as a mole in this group. And so they think they have Christmas as a number, and they're counting her as one of their votes. And so they think with Christmas, we've got six. Memphis can break the tie to evict David, and it can happen. Not only that, but hey, I've been working on Ian, and I think we can get Ian's vote too. That would make seven. We wouldn't even need Memphis. He's so sketchy. And we can make this happen. And Devon does not fully commit to it, but she is very, very open to the idea at this point of voting out David. So Day is going to leave. Christmas comes in and they start talking about, like, we need to form this alliance. We need to make this official. We need to fight against the power in the house. And
you say it like she walked in and it was just this casual thing, when meanwhile there were hundreds of feeders watching Christmas come in and watching Kacer keep talking, going, no, stop, no.
That was the thing. I wanted to find like a good gift for it for Twitter. I couldn't, but it was just like, it was just one of those things where it's like I wanted a gift that was something like, a bunch of, like farm animals, sitting in a circle, and then like a wolf comes in and sits down next to them, and they all just act like nothing's happening, like it's like totally normal. The wolf is one of them. Like Christmas just walks in.
I was gonna say you can act it out and then they could make a gif of you, but with farm animals it doesn't really work. Unless you have action figures.
Christmas just walks in, sits down, and they're like, and everybody watching is like, "Don't say anything," and they look over to Christmas and they're like, "Oh, so great you're here. Let's talk about what we were just talking about." So they continue to talk about it. Bay says, "I'm 100% in to get rid of David. If we get the votes, he's going to be pissed in real life. Like, I know him outside of the house. Like, he's going to, like, we're not going to be friends anymore." Kacer, Janelle, "New schoolers don't play the game like you old schoolers. Like, you guys were yelling at each other, you vote each other out, and then you're like friends afterwards. Like, that's not how we play in the new school. We take this stuff personal." And they say, "Okay, well, like, let's make this happen. Let's form this alliance." And Janelle is talking to Christmas and she's like, "Okay, so we need to work, against this, you know, group. It's six people. It's Tyler, Cody, Danny, Franzel, David, Enzo. That's the group of six. So are you in, Christmas?" And she's like, "Oh, that's so funny. That's so funny that's the group." Enzo is a riot, man. Can you believe Enzo in that? And they're like, "Oh yeah, yeah, Enzo's super funny. Like, we'd totally keep him around. We'd save him for last. Like, Enzo's great. So you're like, you're good." Like, yes. Oh man, what a funny situation. I can't, like, man, that's crazy. That's whoo. Ah man, I can't believe that. Oh man, yeah. Woo, yeah. Nuts. So we're good. Yeah. Of course. what a group, that group. Oh man, that group, that's so funny.
And then so she funny. Leaves after this and they're like, "Yeah, I think she's with us." Yes. That was very that is definitely what a person who is very much with us and telling the truth would act like.
So then they continue to talk to Bailey, they continue to talk, like, Kacer's like, "This is like, we need to do something about this." He says again, like, "This, you look at the statistics in this game, somebody from the first or second alliance," and I can't believe that, because like I said, it's like Kacer read my Twitter, I swear, because this is the exact stat that I was talking about earlier in the season. He's like, the person who is in an alliance in the first or second week always like goes on to win the game. And yeah, like, I'm not going to be an outcast. I'm going to be in the core group. I'm going to be in a position of power. You don't understand. They called me here for a reason. And I'm going to F this shit up. Starting with Cody, I'm going to take his ass out.
He stole my heart. Oh, it's what we want to hear.
That's why they called him.
That's why they called him.
So they say, all right, this is great. We're putting this group together. So we're going to make this alliance. One thing, though, we can't tell Kevin. Kevin is not trustworthy. We can't tell Kevin any of this. That's on one half of the feed.
Yeah, on this was like literally at the same time, right?
On the other half of the feeds, Devon has been having a conversation with Kevin. And I was listening to Janelle and Kacer and Bailey, and that was the more interesting conversation at the time. But as soon as they said this, I was like, wouldn't it be funny? What is Devon telling Kevin right now? So I switched the audio over to Kevin and Devon. And literally at that moment, Devon is saying, so I asked David about a boys' alliance. And
no.
I was like, no way. No way.
It was funny in the worst possible way.
David is telling Kevin everything that they just were talking about with Janelle and Kacer and David. And like she tells him more information than she told Janelle and Kacer.
Which is crazy to me because I didn't even know they were close, Devon and Kevin. Are they close?
They've been close for, yeah, like at the start of the game, it was like Day, Kevin and Nicole Anthony were like a little trio.
Okay.
So they've always had this kind of relationship to some degree. So she's telling him these things and he's like, you know, he's just talking like, did you see David in that veto comp? Oh, that's a man. You tell me you didn't think anything like that, Devon? She's like, no. It's like, I see him in the house. It's like, oh, that's a boy. When I saw him in that veto comp, I was like, oh, that's a man.
I did not hear this, and I'm not upset about it.
It's basically, Kevin is not super concerned about a boys' alliance.
Okay.
So that conversation is happening. And then unfortunately, back in the Janelle Kacer Bay conversation, they're talking about, Kacer says, I think we need to pull in Ian. I think that Ian wants to be a part of something. Ian wants to be in a group. And if we exclude him from a group, then we won't have him. And Janelle says, we can't. No, we can't pull in Ian. We can't trust him. Ian is with Franzel. He made that clear to me. We can use him as a number, but we can't trust him. And Kacer said, that's the wrong call. If we just try to use him as a number, he is not going to go with us. He's going to go with Franzel and be used as a number on the other side instead. The way to pull in Ian is to actually make him a part of something. That's the only reason why he might jump from the other side. And Janelle says, no, we can't do it. We can't trust Ian. Instead, we need to trust Christmas.
I feel like Kacer and Ian are like two people that want to be together. They're a Romeo and Juliet, and we got like a Janelle on one side and a Franz on the other side, like pulling them away, and they're like reaching for each other like, I want to work with you, and the girls are like, no, we could never make it work. And I feel very sad because I would love to see them work together.
Mm-hmm. So they also say, don't tell Kevin anything. We can't trust Kevin. Don't bring Kevin in either. If they had pulled Kevin in like a week ago, but instead of campaigning for Keisha in this, you know, doomed cause, if they had actually given up on Keisha and then pulled Kevin in, then they would be in a dramatically better position right now, because they'd have at least one extra number. If they also had Nicole Anthony, then they could that would be four people. Bay and Day would feel much more comfortable going over to their side. I think they would be able to pull in Ian. They wouldn't need Christmas, and they wouldn't have that mole situation. Like, it's a domino effect there. But
I don't know if them getting Kevin, like if they were campaigning for Kevin, I don't know if that would be enough to convince Nicole Anthony that they're on her side. Like, obviously, well, no, the fact the that they reason, went for him last week is helping.
Reason, the only reason Nicole thinks that that they're not on her side is because Kevin convinced her of it. Like, because Kevin was very anti Janelle and Kasem. Kevin is the one that went to her and said, "You think," because he was already anti Janelle and Kasem because they campaigned against him and they called him a liar and all that stuff. And he was like, "You don't think that them that they're not like they're working with Memphis and that they didn't talk to Memphis about this?" But like, if Kevin was in on the conversations with Janelle and Kasem about like what do we do about Memphis, then he wouldn't have had those. And he wouldn't have been, you know, already predisposed to thinking that they were up to no good, because they wouldn't have been up to no good in the week that he was on the block.
Yeah, that's fair. There's still something about Nicole Anthony that I feel like would be very hesitant to trust them. But there's definitely a good shot that if they had Kevin working for them instead of against them, that it would have made a big difference.
And Nicole started to not trust Janelle and Kasem during the week that Kevin was on the block because they were campaigning against Kevin. So, that's all going on. So just a quick recap. David tells Day that he's part of a boys' alliance, but in like the sketchiest way possible. Day is now like, okay, maybe I will vote out David. They talk to Janelle and Kasem about forming an alliance and potentially voting out David. They decide to include Christmas, and then Day goes off and tells Kevin. So now Christmas and Kevin both know about this potential vote flip and potential counter alliance, and it's a race to see who's going to rat this out first. And
it was a very quick race.
Kevin slides in there with Danny right away. And he says, "I think this might go to a split vote." She's like, "What are you talking about?" It's like, "Well, I was talking to Day and we were counting the votes. And it looks like Day, Bay, Janelle, Kasem, me, and Christmas are going to all vote to keep Nicole." And she's like, "That's so annoying." She's like, "Oh, wow. So Day and Bay, huh?" He's like, "Yeah, they were like talking." I don't know if Day's like 100%, but it might happen. She's like, "Wow."
You can just see like this being etched in stone in Danny's brain. Okay, Day going against me again. Noted.
Yes. So Danny's like, "Wow, that's crazy." And so what Kevin is saying is like, "I don't want you to think I'm with these people because they just happen to be voting for Nicole. I'm voting for Nicole because she's my friend. They're voting for Nicole because they want to use her. I'm not with them. They haven't pulled me into anything." That's the problem, is that they're trying to split the house, and they think that they can just use me for a vote and not have to pull me into their group, their alliance. Screw that. I'm not going to be their puppet. I'm not going to be their number. So this is what I think is happening, but don't group me in with those people. You can go after them all you want. Leave me out of it. And so Danny's like, "That's so annoying. I can't believe they're trying to split the house like that. And like, why doesn't Janelle pull us in? Like, I don't understand why I haven't done anything to Janelle. And like, she's trying to like make it seem like I'm on the other side of the house automatically. Like, why can't I be on Janelle's side? It's so annoying." And he's like, well, I don't know. I think like she seems to think like there's something there. Like, so she's like, "Are you talking about how she's saying that I tried to make an alliance with her of like four people? Like, she's saying that me and Cody and Tyler and Franzel are in an alliance, and then I tried to propose that I bring her in." He was like, "No, actually, this is the first I'm hearing about that." And she's like, "Well, it's so dumb. Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, why would I do
true.
That? Like, why would I go to Janelle? It doesn't, like, it's such a bad move to do that. Like, why would I even try? It just doesn't make any sense. Week two. Like, why would that even happen?" It's like, that's again, first I'm hearing of it. it's just
like,
so
I don't think
annoying.
It happened. And Danny's like, why do you think it happened? "Oh, I don't." "Oh, well, like it's so annoying."
So Kevin leaves and Bailey comes up to Danny in the hammock, and Danny's like, "So Bailey, I'm hearing that you are trying to maybe flip the vote or something. Like, what's going on?" And I'm like, you have to look at this from Bailey's perspective. She found out that David confirmed there's a boys alliance, then had a conversation with Janelle and Kacer and Christmas and Day. And they talked about forming an alliance, potentially flipping the vote. Day leaves mid conversation, and they continue the conversation. They continue to talk about working together. They're like, Bay tells them, I'm 100% down to make this work, to flip on David. She leaves that conversation, heads over to Danny, and Danny already knows about the conversation. That's controlling the flow of information.
No kidding. What must she be thinking?
And so Bay is like, well, yes, I was approached, but I don't trust them. I'm not sure what's going on with it. Here's the thing, Danny. I heard that you approached Janelle about an alliance. And Danny says, oh my God, that's so annoying. Why would I even do that? It was just great.
Danny just rehearsed this. It was perfect.
She says, so Bay also says, Kacer told me that one of the boys confirmed that there was an all boys alliance. Kacer told me. Now, Day is the one that told her, but she says Kacer told her. And she's like, so if there's an all boys alliance, who are they going to choose? Like us or the boys? And Danny goes, oh my God, it's week two. Like, even if there is a boys alliance, they're not going to turn on us yet. Like, Bailey, this is what happened on your season. Your alliance didn't trust each other and you got eliminated one by one. Like, we need to stop being so paranoid. Just like, the alliance doesn't work if they don't trust each other. If they don't stick together. It's week two. What are we doing? Bay is like, you're right. Danny says, like, I thought Day wanted to keep David. And Bay is like, oh, David's been acting so weird all day. Cody's been dipping his hands in a lot of pots. And Danny's like, I mean, look, I don't know, but that I just know everything Cody has said about you guys has been positive. He loves you guys. Like, he won't want to turn on you. I don't know why are we doing this? We just need to stick together. We need to keep this together. It's week two.
Everything Cody has said has been great about them, except for the conversations they keep having about being super concerned about Day. Those ones don't count. Everything else is positive.
Well, to be fair, if we take all of the things Cody said before Day and Bay started questioning things, it was super positive. So I'm sure that in Danny's mind, it's like, you know, until you guys messed up, Cody was all aboard. So here's the thing I wanted to say about Day. Day this whole night and like for days has been working on this puzzle. They have like these little puzzles up in the lounge area upstairs, and they're very difficult puzzles. And there's one that's like a string of blocks that, like, if you pull the blocks together, you can make a complete square or whatever. And Day has been working on this thing tirelessly, that she is trying very hard to figure out this puzzle and make the square happen. She sits alone at one point in the night, and she's with all of the crazy stuff happening, and she's like, I'm trying, guys. And she's like, I'm trying with this puzzle. And like, this is Day's game. Like, Day is obsessed with the puzzle. Day is obsessed with figuring out how the thing works. She's so hyper focused on it. She wants to figure out who she can trust, where the pieces fall. And those are important things. But she is too hyper focused on the puzzle of the game, of trying to figure out where all these pieces are. And she cares more about, like, I found out that there's a boys alliance, than she does, what do I do with this information. It's the problem that she had all the way back in Big Brother 17 for the very first time when she figured out the twin twist and she was like, I figured it out. Like I solved the puzzle. Isn't this great, guys? Isn't this awesome? I figured out the puzzle. And she gave away all of the information and Vanessa was able to use the information in a way to build her own power structure when Day got sent home. I feel like it's the same thing that Day is facing here, where she's trying to figure, okay, so David is now in a boys alliance. And instead of like looking at the relationship she has with David and the fact that David did tell her, even if it was super sketchy, that like, okay, what can I actually do with this? And like the same problem the day before when she was testing Danny and Tyler with information and they realized that she was lying to them, that she now found out that Danny told Tyler a thing. Great. But now neither of them trust her because they realize that she's been trying to solve this puzzle and she's been lying and she doesn't trust them. I feel like I understand Day's gameplay a lot more. I was just watching her like trying to solve this puzzle endlessly. She tries for hours and hours. We talked about it on like day two of the live feed update. Like she spent 6 hours trying to solve this puzzle. And I was like, this is her game. Like this is what she does. And it's why she's so good at figuring things out eventually, but so bad at doing the right thing with it.
It's even worse by the fact that this house in particular is changing so much. So yeah, like when they found out there was a guys alliance, there wasn't even one. And then they came up with one later, but it's like, she figures something out. But by the time she gets to the point where it's like, okay, what should I do with this? It's different. And she needs to try and figure it out again. And it's like her whole game is just trying to figure out where the ever changing structure is. And instead of there just being one alliance, you figure it out. You figure out how to fit in it or dismantle it. It's just like, it's the goalposts are going to keep moving and she's never going to have that time to say, okay, now what do I do?
Yeah. And while she's, you know, sitting there trying to solve the puzzle, the game is happening around her and the information that she has told Kevin is going around to Danny and Christmas is going to Tyler and Nicole Franzel, and she's filling them in on the Kacer and Janelle stuff.
Do you think if Day had a one person she could tell everything to and like a tight pair, whether that's Bay or someone else that wouldn't tell anyone else, would that help her just like exponentially, like so much?
I mean, that's what she has in Bailey.
But she just still is telling other people, or Bailey's telling people?
She's still telling other people. And she's still like, okay. Because it's not even just like, it's not just leaking information. It's also in the attempt to find information, she's poking holes in things and making people not trust her. So it's a couple of things. But Christmas is going to go to Tyler and Nicole Franzel. She loses the race and who can rat out the alliance first, but she does get to Tyler and Franzel before Kevin does or Danny does.
Let her hear you say she lost the race.
She fills them in on the Janelle and Kacer stuff and that how they're trying to form an alliance and how they're trying to potentially flip the vote. And Tyler mentions that he saw Kacer talking to Ian a bunch and he looked very nervous, and Franzel said, yeah, you're right. He came to me and he was like, we need to talk. What do I do? Do I bring him in as a seventh? Like what? Like, I'm not sure where to go from here. And they're like, well, I don't think Tyler says, okay, Christmas, are Bay and Day voting David out? Like, do we need Ian's vote right now? Chris is like, I mean, Davon didn't like fully commit. I think Bailey is willing to, but Davon didn't fully commit. So there's maybe a chance. Franzel, you need to go talk to Ian. We need to figure out like what we're doing here. After Franzel leaves, Christmas tells Tyler about Danny propositioning Janelle and Kacer for safety. Christmas, with weirdly like the most apt description of what Danny was doing. She didn't say that Danny proposed an alliance to Janelle and Kacer, because that wasn't really what happened. What happened was Danny went up to Janelle and Kacer trying to get safety for herself and outed some of the alliance members in the process. They're super annoyed that Danny is everywhere and she keeps doing all these things. Because again, remember, this keeps coming up because this is the thing that caused it. Danny going to Janelle and confirming those names to Janelle, trying to get safety for herself when it wasn't necessary in the first place, is the domino that started all of this with Bailey and Davon and everything. And like, yes, like there were other dominoes before that, but like that was the unforced error that has caused all of this paranoia and all of this like chaos, and dissent. And like, again, like you can say like Memphis is HOH putting, making Dani uncertain about her fate in the game caused Dani to do that. Yes. But like, that was the main thing. Like if Dani doesn't do that, all of this chaos doesn't happen. And so, that also, was the big mistake.
Where's Memphis in all of this? That's
Memphis
what I want to know.
Just chilling.
He's just like in hanging out. Like this, the game is just happening around him.
I've seen like five conversations in the HOH room this whole week because, nobody goes in there. It's Memphis's room. And he will only have like one-on-one conversations where he locks the door up there, like once a day.
He's so grumpy. Why is he so grumpy? Is it because it's cold? Does he need hot chocolate?
Memphis is truly kind of just like get out, you guys run around,
figure it out. You play, let me know.
Go play on the slide. Do your thing. I'm just gonna chill over here until jury, and then I'm gonna start playing. So Christmas says she's going to continue to build a relationship with Ian. They need him for now, but they also know that Franzel wants him for herself. So that's something that they have to watch out for.
So do you think they should bring Ian in? Sorry.
Yes, I do.
I think so too. I think they're too focused on this Nicole Ian pair, and they're two winners. Like they're going to be easy targets. Like it's week two. It's not like you bring Ian in and it's like, oh, there's this pair now that's like untouchable. I feel like use him as a number, like make him feel welcome. And it's not going to be like the end of your alliance.
Mm-hmm. The conversation that Franzel has with Ian is going to be very telling in that regard as well. So Dani goes to Day, and Day says to Dani, like, hey, we've never had that one conversation. Dani's like, which conversation? Like, you know the one. Which one? What do you mean? About like being the one. And Dani's like, well, yeah, because you told me night one that Bailey was your number one. Dave's like, yeah, but we know we should have that conversation.
So she's gonna have two number ones.
Yeah, I just can't believe Day went up to Dani night one and said Bailey's my girl. Bailey's my number
one. You can't believe that? Are you sure?
So Bailey, Davon, Tyler, Enzo, Dani, and Cody are all going to get together, with Dani alert, with Tyler and Franzel alert. They get Cody. They realize, okay, we need to put a stop to this. And so they round everybody up and they bring them into the photo room, and the six of them sit down and they formalize an alliance, the Slick Six.
There's a name. Hallelujah.
Yes. And
it has a six in it though. Why?
Because there's six of them. So they all agree that they are all in, and they're keeping David, and no more getting paranoid and running around and freaking out and all of that. This is the group.
That's all it takes, right? Is you pull them together and say, guys, stop being paranoid. This is our group. And everyone says, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely going to work.
So that's the group. That's they come together, they do that. They have like a long bonding session. Lots of other people are asleep or outside. So Franzel then goes and finally talks with Ian. And she says, she asked him, like, were you approached to be in alliance with Janelle and Kacer? And Ian says, well, they don't have an alliance, but yes. And she says, well, what are you going to do? Says, look, I don't give information. I just say vague things. But the good news is, if they win it, I don't think they're going to be coming after you unless you start making noise. She's like, no, of course they're going to come after me. And he's like, no. I think they're going after the boys. And she's like, oh, well, that's nice. And so she says, I think you should join like our side of the house. He's like, what do you mean by join your side of the house? I've been with you guys for a while. Like, what do you mean by that? She's like, well, there's nothing official. She's like, oh, okay. Just don't brigade me, okay? No. Never. No, we should form something official that you're a part of. He's like, okay. And this is why I do think they need to bring Ian in officially, because he is wise to the fact that they are brigading him.
I love how much brigade talk there is today. It's been proven to be the optimal strategy, and everyone is correctly looking out for it and clocking it. And I'm interested to see if they're able to get one together. I don't think they can do a four brigade with the four branches. I think that there are too many people that are going to get onto that. But I just love hearing them talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Ian says, look, I think that if Janelle and Kacer go on the block, Janelle is probably the person that is likely to go. So working on Kacer so that we can pull him in after Janelle leaves, I think is a good idea. I think what Ian is doing with Kacer is that it makes sense when he talked about pairs with Janelle, and he talked about how, like, if, you know, our pairs leave, we might be able to work together in the future. I think that Ian is trying to set himself up so that when the big group goes against Janelle and Kacer, Janelle goes home and he's able to pull in Kacer and not the other way around. And that's why he's saying yes to working with Kacer. And I do not think that he actually has any intention to go and jump on their side. He even makes fun of the fact that they don't even have a real alliance. So that's where Ian stands. He also says he wants to keep David. So Ian voting David out does not seem particularly likely at this moment. The other people coming together in the six agreeing they're keeping David. David, once again, seems safe, but
by no fault of his own.
You never know with David.
Things could definitely change. In that hammock conversation, Ian was also saying, okay, if Janelle or Kacer get HOH, like, we have to make sure we're not the ones up there. And Nicole Franzel was like, well, I'm not going to kiss their butt. Like, I'm not going to join with them. Like, Nicole, just stop. Just, like, make nice for 2 seconds.
Yeah. After the Slick Six start to disperse, they leave Tyler, Enzo, and Cody in the room, and they kind of look at each other and they're like, they're all playing checkers while we're playing chess.
That crazy chessboard in the Big Brother house.
Yeah.
The one with levels. Yeah, that's us.
It's us three. And Enzo's like, yeah, yo, it's us three. All right. Let's hold on. I got something. Tyler, you're the bandit. You sleep with the bandana over your mouth. You're the bandit. Cody, you're Zuko, yo. You're Zuko. You know where that's from? Cody's like, yo, you asked me, I know where that. Of course I know where Zuko's from. All right. Cody, you're Zuko. I'm the meow meow. We got the bandit. We got Zuko. We got the meow meow. We got this.
This is just like the most Enzo thing to have ever happened, except if he was called himself Dwight Squall this time. But still great. Love the nicknames. We got a little baby brigade. Only three members. They're going to try and do it.
So there you go. The boys alliance that didn't quite exist before, when David ratted them out, now does exist. And they've already been pre-ratted out.
But David's not a part of it. So he ratted out of one he was a part of, which is technically different than this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. They've still been, manifested.
Finally we had Daily and I knew I was gonna say Daily eventually. Bailey and Davon talking late into the night. Bailey says Christmas was not solid with Janelle and Kacer. They had a conversation and Christmas was like, I don't know if I trust this. And that was an additional point on the graph of, we need to back out of this because the information got leaked immediately and Christmas isn't sure that she can trust it. We don't know if Christmas is like fully on board. They don't have numbers. So we can't ride with that.
Would Bailey and Davon have voted David out if the information didn't leak immediately? Do you think that would be what they were trying to go do?
I think that they would have been down if they had the numbers and it hadn't leaked. I think they would have been in. I think it would have the house would have split.
It was the Christmas. She did it.
It was Christmas and day. I mean,
well, yeah,
it was true, one. But it was going to be one or the other. So they said, well, at least now we have confirmation about the All Boys Alliance. So we know that. And, you know, we just have to believe that we'll be put above everyone else. It's going to be okay. We're going to get through this.
I mean, they're probably going to be fine. I don't know if it's because the Boys Alliance is going to keep them safe, but I don't think they're top targets right now.
Well, but like, so here's the thing. And here's what I'm sort of getting at with Devon and the puzzle, right? Devon, if we look at the last few days, she's been trying to solve the puzzle and trying to figure out, am I at the bottom of this group? And she's been sort of like dedicated to solving this puzzle. She finally has solved the puzzle. Now she knows there's a Boys Alliance and there's this like group and all of this. Now I know. Good. She's back in the same spot where she started in her eyes. But now she knows the information. But the problem is, being back where you started, the other people now don't trust Day and Bay. Like all of this happened for them to get in the same spot they were before, when they could have just inferred or assumed that they needed to have their own things going on instead of having to do all this investigation and make people not trust them. But now they're in the same spot they were before, only much worse, because now none of the other people trust them in this group, because they all are on to the fact that Day and Bay are doing all of this stuff and not trusting them, and were trying to flip and now can't. And they went from like pretty deeply embedded in the power structure, but not in the best spot, to knowing that they weren't in the best spot and on the very outside of the power structure. It's not great.
It's not great, but I don't know if I see them being targets next week. That might be like
next week.
Yeah. This is something that'll come up in a couple weeks when a couple more people are gone. It's like, okay, now there's these people we don't really trust. Okay, now let's deal with them. So, I mean, in theory, there's a way they could scramble their way back to a better position and become more trustworthy, but doesn't look really likely.
I think if somebody from Cody's group wins next week, it's Kacer and Janelle on the block. Let's say Janelle goes home the following week. I think Day and Bay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of any other floaters. I mean, we've got a Kevin.
They're not going to waste time on
David,
Kevin.
Right. Like at that point,
you know, maybe
if Memphis
is HOH, he goes after Ian or something, but yeah. I don't think anybody else would.
It's like you said about Nicole Anthony surviving this week, and the same will probably apply to David. If they survive this week, they're probably good for a while. I know it was about Nicole, but David probably as well, unless he continues to be super sketchy. But at this point, it's like, okay, now we need to start working on targets. Let's just pick up these pieces as a number instead of trying to get them out.
Mm-hmm. So there it is. That was the day. That's where we left off last night. I'm sure there's going to be plenty more for the next couple of days, but hopefully we got, again, just a quick summary here, Kacer tried to pull Ian into an alliance. Ian indicated that he might be interested, but really he's just trying to pull Kacer away from Janelle when Janelle goes home. So that's not really happening. Devon was suspicious of David being in a Boys Alliance. He admitted to one that doesn't really exist, which made Day and Bay not trust David at all and not trust any of the guys in that group. They tried to form a thing with Janelle and Kacer, but it got ratted out immediately. And the guys put together a counter fake alliance called the Slick Six to pull Bailey and Devon in and keep them comfortable enough so that they don't run over to Janelle and Kacer. And it seems to have worked for now, although Bailey and Devon are still suspicious of the boys, and the rest of that group in Cody's structure are very suspicious of Devon and Bailey.
Does Memphis get to know about this Nicknames Alliance?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. Fair enough. I don't blame them.
All right. So that's what we have for you. I will be back tonight for the roundtable where we will discuss everything that's been going on this week, and we will rate these players, each one of them individually, 1 out of 10, based on the game they have been playing this week in Stockwatch. We'll update the prices and see how you guys did in the first week. If you want to play, you still have time. You can play for the second week after we do the prices tonight. If you go to realitystockwatch.com, we will be live tonight at around 9 p.m. Eastern. There is going to be another show running up before 9 p.m. Eastern, so we might be a little bit late while we wait for that show to wrap up, but around 9 p.m. Eastern tonight for the roundtable. And then, of course, tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern, I will be back to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 22 live feeds. Mel, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Mel Hulst, and chatting in Taryn's Discord about stocks. If you like talking about stocks, come talk with us. It's really fun.
There you go. You can, of course, find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn, and on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. We'll see you next time.